Sitar's World of Gaelic Games.
Hello and welcome to the TC Tires World of Gaelic Games on Monday the 22nd of April. Thanks to Frank Tynan for our excellent edition of Kilkenny Today. And Frank will be back again on Wednesday for the Kilkenny paper review and everything else that's going on in Kilkenny. Coming up on tonight's show, we'll be looking back at Kilkenny's minor victory over Galway. We'll be looking back at Kilkenny's victory over Antrim in the first round of the Leinster Hurling Championship. And we'll also be talking Camogie with Aoife Flanagan, and I'll be running down through all the handball results as well. If you'd like to get in touch with us, we'd love to hear from you. Text us in on our taxback.com line on 086 353 7782, and that's a Clune Tech company. Or you can phone us in on 056 77 62 777, or you can message us on WhatsApp on 087 401 1887. Now I'm delighted to be joined on the phone by Ciarán Maloney. Good evening, Ciarán.
Evening, Ciarán. How are you?
Not too bad, Ciarán. You were at the two games over the weekend, one Saturday, one Sunday. We'll start with the minors. What were your thoughts on the minor game?
Well, it was an excellent performance from Kilkenny. I don't think anyone would have predicted that kind of a margin going into the match on Saturday. Galway will traditionally and always have been one of the top teams in minor. I still think Galway would be better than they were the other day. You know, it's a long season. There's a lot of games in it. And I think when the time comes, I still think Galway will be one of the teams that will be thereabouts. But certainly Kilkenny did their business very, very well. I was impressed with the style of hurling. The unity was good. The tackling was good. And the forwards were excellent. Like, the shooting was really, really good. Very few wides, lots of scores and lots of creativity. So a very positive performance overall, Ciarán.
Yeah, no, definitely. And a huge crowd in there as well, Ciarán, to get behind this minor team. And obviously a couple of nervy moments at the start, but once they got into our flow, like you said, a really good team to watch and all playing for each other. And, their use of the ball and the scores were some excellent scores as well.
Some really good scores, yeah. And by the 19th minute, all six forwards had scored from play, and they all went on and got lots of scores. You know, Conor Hoolan with 1-4 from play, Jake Mullen with a goal and 2, Patrick Lacey with 1-2, Phil McDermott with 2-3. You know, good scores from play, and good amounts of them. But they were well supplied by a very, very good half-back line. I thought Jack Dellard at centre-back was really good. Galway kind of baffled me in the way that they left David Barco free for more or less the entire game, and he supplied a lot of ball into the forwards. Like, when any of our backs were under a little bit of pressure, they popped it out to him and he drove in great balls into the forwards. You know, and when you have a steady supply of ball coming from your half back line, well, then your forwards have got a good chance, you know. And by God, the boys, in fairness to them, they made the most of it. Look, it was an impressive start, Ciarán. It's only the first step of hopefully many steps for that team, but as first steps go, it was a very, very good one.
Yeah, no, definitely. And just one of the names you mentioned there, Ciarán, was Jack Dollard. And it's just one of the things I picked up on over the game. Like, he's just a real natural hurler. It's second or third time I saw him playing now, and every time I saw him, he's after impressing me, you know. And he's just, his feet are real very fast, you know, and he's used to the ball. He's great to break a tackle, and his positional sense is brilliant.
Yeah, and good organiser as well. You could see him constantly talking to the two boys in midfield and his wing backs around him. His positional sense was good, his deliveries were good, and even there was one stage there was nothing on and he was 100 yards out, so he just drove it over the bar, you know. And he's an excellent hurler, you know, very good positionally. That was the big thing that caught me there. You know, obviously we all know at underage you need a good strong centre back, and it was good, he was very good.
Yeah, and moving to Sunday then, Ciarán, obviously a comprehensive win for Kilkenny. You can't do much more than that, but what were your thoughts overall?
Yeah, sure. It was a bit of a disaster, because all we got out of yesterday were injuries. I think we were always going to win the game, maybe not by that much. I don't think anyone would have predicted that margin. In fairness, Antrim, they stuck at it for a long time in the first half, but Kilkenny were always on top, even into the early stages of the second half. But in the last 15-20 minutes, the whole game melted apart altogether, and Kilkenny just piled on the scores, especially from the subs as they came on trying to make an impression. But the injuries are a disaster, and I've no idea how any of the lads are. I hope they're not too bad, because we're going into a big game next Sunday. But certainly if we haven't got Owen Murphy, Adrian Mullen and Owen Cody, that puts a big hole in our boat. As I say, hopefully they'll be okay. But from a Kilkenny point of view, the performance was good. Look, Kilkenny did their business well. The opposition wasn't hectic, but they used the ball well, and I was impressed with the condition of the players, Ciarán. Their fitness levels looked really good. They looked to be in good shape. There was good speed around the field as well, and they were trying to use the ball all well too, and look, they got lots of scores. They're dangerous. Kilkenny forwards are always dangerous. This bunch are the same, and whenever they got a chance, they took the score.
Yeah, no, definitely. And all roads, Ciarán, lead to Salt Hill now next Sunday. And what are your thoughts on that one? Obviously, look, it's hard to judge Galway against Carlo, but Carlo still put up a decent score.
Yeah, I was talking to a man today, his son was hurling for Carlo, and he said that Carlo stuck at it, like, and there wasn't a huge margin in it, say, I don't know, maybe 10 or 15 minutes into the second half, and then Henry unloaded some of the big ones. Conor Cooney, I think, especially made a big difference when he came on. And look, all those boys will be playing next Sunday. Next Sunday's a big game. The winner of that game will be in a really, really strong position. Look, there's every chance that they'll meet later on in the Leinster Championship as well. There is every chance of that, but I don't think there'll be any shadow boxing next Sunday now. I think both teams will go for this, and because both are coming in off a win, and I think you know, to get another win would be a big thing.
Yeah, no, definitely, and it'll put either team in a commanding position, especially after Dublin Wexford's draw as well over the weekend. Ciarán, you're down Mullinavat tonight, minor league game. How are you fixed for it?
we're okay. Yeah, we've good bunch of lads. In fairness, we're just missing one or two tonight. But look, that's always going to happen. You know, we're going to play Mullinavat here now. They've what to me is a brand new field over in the far side from the original treatment. It's absolutely beautiful looking. We're just about to go out in it there now. So I'm looking forward to it. A grand evening, Ciarán. Where else would you be?
Yeah, no, exactly right. Really, if you go, Ciarán. Thanks a million for joining us this evening. We'll touch base with you again next Monday night.
Thanks, Ciarán.
Thanks, Ciarán. And that was Ciarán Muldowney joining us there from Mullinavat. We're everywhere, Nicky.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, well, Ciarán is in charge of the Connacht Young Lads. And look, we're very fortunate to have him there because he knows his coach and he's very good at it, getting a good response from the young lads. And, you know, while we're generally a club that operates down at the lower echelons, he's getting the best out of a group of good players. And look, there are some very decent hurlers on the team. I haven't got to see them yet, but I know they put in a fair bit of work. And all you can expect is do the best you can.
Yeah, no, exactly, Nicky. And Nicky, we have a text in here from Benjamin. So it was great to hear from Benjamin. He says, good evening, Ciarán and the team. I was immensely encouraged by Saturday. While it's hard to make definite judgments on the opening match of the campaign, do you think it was a case of Galway being off colour, or do we appear to have a strong minor panel than in recent years? And that's from Benjamin.
I think it was a case of we have a good team now. I saw them playing against Cork in the challenge match, but I think you take challenge matches with a health warning, to be honest about it. I thought they were very good. I thought their style of play, you alluded to young Dollar there, Shamie's lad at centre back. I think he looks a class player, all right. Plenty of good hurlers on that team. But I was very taken aback how poor Galway were. I mean, talking to Sean Welch from Galway BFM before the match, he said they're a workmanlike team. We're not sure how good or bad they are, but they were with Kenneth Burke for many, many months. And I think they were a bit shell-shocked now. There were some Galway supporters in the stand after the match, shocked at the manner of the defeat. Because, I mean, it's 2010 since Kenny beat a Galway team in a big minor game. And, I mean, to win by 19 points, you would never have predicted that. You know, I think this team always possibility. And of the 26 that togged out, I think at least 8 of them, I think, are under 16 this year. So, you know, they're a good team. And I know a lot of talk has been about next year's minor team. But look at, why shouldn't this year's minor team come up as well? So I think they're in a good position. Yes, there'll be a better Galway team in the Leinster Championship, but I think Kilkenny will improve as well. And I don't know what Munster is like. I think I know Clare defeated Limerick the other night, and they're not supposed to be too bad, and Tipper and Cork are not too bad either. So it's look, it's all to play for. But good start, impressed by these young ones. I've seen all these young ones playing with junior colleges hurling between Kieran, CBS, Good Council, and Colostomura, Johnstown, and places like that, and Comer and all that.
You know, as well.
Absolutely. So they've got plenty of exposure at the top level. Good team, and I'd be very hopeful now, but that's not putting any pressure on at this stage.
Yeah, Patrick, what were your thoughts on it? Like, it could be tough for a Kilkenny team, you know, opening round, going over to Nolan Park, you know, against Galway, who we haven't had good form against over in recent times, but they really grabbed the game by the scruff of the neck and drove it home.
They seemed to take control from the early on, and they just dominated the game. Now, it seems like the word was that Galway mightn't be as strong as other years, that they wouldn't have been that impressive under 16 last year and that. But look, Kilkenny are decent, I'd say, and they'll be in the shake up. I think that's fairly evident, because just looking at the players that are there, and you know, there's after been a nice bit of work put into them, and you know, Niall is in there again, and you know, they're everyone's settling in better, and I'd say we have a better squad.
Yeah, they're very fit and strong as well, though, Pat.
Yeah,
aren't they?
That's
they're
right.
Big,
yeah.
Strong men, and they're all well able to, you know, the good turn of foot and good men to break tacks, carry out the ball. Like for the first game, and all, look, we have to. We can't get too excited. It's only the first game, but look, from what we saw, you have to be positive.
Yeah, but you get a general feeling that things are moving underage in Kilkenny again. That, like when you look across the various grades, you'd say that's. I think that's, and I think we're seeing evidence of it. I think at this stage, even, you know.
Yeah, no, definitely. Pat, you were at the match yesterday. What were your thoughts on it?
Yeah, sure. Look, we went out to control of the game. There was one little period there where I was on again doing my mental notes, five wides in a row. When after starting well, then we hit a kind of a flat line division and hit those five wides in a row where you'd rather not be seen. That happened.
Yeah, because, similar to Clare.
Yeah. Exactly, and so against a stronger team. But then when TJ got the first goal, well, then that was kind of over and done with, you know. And the way he orchestrated things in the forwards, and that just you know, gave a whole new you know, just gave a whole new aspect to the forwards and that. So showing fierce leadership and that kind of thing. I thought Mikey Carey coming back, that was hugely significant. I thought he had a great game. His physical presence even was you know, apart from his hurling and his drive back and all the rest, I thought he had a great game. And you know, that's just Owen Wall. I thought, you know, he's a top of the ground player. He likes the fast ground, he likes the fast ball, and he's fast himself, and the two finishes were just top drawer. You know, so those are things I take away from it yesterday. You know, the injuries, I saw Adrian Mullen pulled up right in front of us, and it just seemed to be that muscle above your knee. Is it a quad or whatever,
yeah,
you call,
yeah,
it? He didn't look too bad. He was, you know, you'd imagine that with physio every day and that type of thing, you'd imagine he'd be okay, and that,
maybe it was precautionary as well.
Oh,
you know?
I'd say so, yeah. Definitely, yeah, yeah. There wasn't any need for him to be continuing on, and that, you know. So I think I'd expect we'll have all three back for next week against Galway. Yeah,
yeah, you'd be hopeful. And Jim, yeah, Rowan texted in, he was wondering about that. He was saying, any news on the injured men at the moment after the game yesterday afternoon in Nolan Park? So we're after giving that small summary.
Yeah, we just don't know. And I mean, I spoke to Derek after the game, but he was never going to know at that stage. But as I said in the report last night, it was a baptismal, championship baptismal fire for Dr. Joanne Cuddihy yesterday. I mean, she's been there with the league with her husband Frank Chambers, all right. But for yesterday, she was certainly stretched with all the. It's not a long time since we saw three Kilkenny players going off injured in the circumstances. Now, maybe they could afford to take them off, obviously, yesterday. But Joanne was actually working overtime. So we said, well done to her, too.
Yeah, no, definitely. We have a text in here saying, if it was at the game yesterday, I'd be looking for my money back. Not worth analysing, really. But sure, look, we're going to try anyway.
Every game you take something out. The you know, no matter how one-sided or no matter how much you're beaten by or whatever, there's always something you will see, and there's always something to be taken. Yeah.
You have to put up a big score as well, Pat. Look at Galway a couple of
That's
years
right.
ago. You know,
yeah,
so
yeah.
Look, all these games are there to be won and get points on the board.
Mm. Look, I just think, look, there was whatever was at the game, just under 3,000. Small crowd. It was crazy. It was clashing with Limerick and Clare. I just thought the Leinster Council really should have put that game on Saturday evening.
Yeah, I'd agree with you.
Yeah. Kieran. Yeah. And you've got a better, and had the minor as the curtain raiser. And it was crying out to happen. I just don't know why it didn't happen.
And just on that, Nicky, is it the reason, because the players are 17, that they wouldn't, you know, not that playing in large crowds?
Not at all, nothing to do with it at all.
No,
not at all, not at all. I don't know why. It was logical, because the game was never going to go on terrestrial television or even on GA Go.
Yeah.
So it was as easy played. Yeah, well, I mean, they could have played it at 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock on Saturday evening.
Yeah.
And played the minor match at 3 o'clock. This was all doable. And I doubt it would have been that much of a problem for Antrim to come down, because, you know, if they were, if the game was on late, you know, at 4 or 5 o'clock in the evening, it wouldn't have been a problem. As it happens, they came down the night before and they stayed in Horse and Jockey anyway. So, but for the sake of supporters, I would have thought they just was a logical thing to do. But, and now next Sunday, we have Kilkenny and Galway clashing at the same time as the huge game in Munster between Cork and Clare, where it's almost a winner-take-all game. I just don't, I can't fathom this thing at all. I don't know.
No. Do you think, Pat, maybe it's to try to get crowds to go to the games again, you know, that if they were bought in separate times, that they wouldn't have the crowds attending the games, or what do you think?
I don't know. Sure, look, everything, there's so many games on. I mean, Cork and Kerry were playing in football on Saturday, and I didn't even know. You know, that they go under the radar. There's so many games going on that you miss out on them, and it's just all too rushed. I mean, it's really not right that the likes of Clare will have to head down to Cork now next Saturday. Like, I mean, 6 days after playing a game.
And remember now, Clare could have two games played and two games lost. Or Cork, one of them will have, yeah. Cork or Clare will have two games played and two games lost, subject to not being a draw, before Tipperary puck a ball in the championship.
Yeah, so yes. Like, you know, it's just all over the place. And it just... It's certainly not these championships are not being staged with either supporters or players or anyone in mind. That's all I can say.
No, I agree with you, Pat, 100%. Right, we'll take our first break. Then just after, we'll be talking Camogie with Aoife Lennigan.
TC Tyres, World of Gaelic Games. TC Tyres, World of Gaelic Games.
And welcome back. We're delighted to be joined in the studio now by Aoife Lennigan to talk Camogie news. How are you, Aoife?
Good evening, Ciarán. Grant, thank you.
Minor Camogie at the weekend, Aoife, and defeat for Kilkenny after extra time.
Yeah, wasn't at it now because I had intermediate commitments, but looking at it, they had come third in their group, had lost out to Tipperary earlier on in the championship, and you're kind of thinking that, yeah, they'd get their chance and build on it again come good and get it. But yeah, looking at it, they had been, like, it was a pint in it at half time. Tip 1-3, Kilkenny 5 points, and you're thinking, yeah, they had a chance. But after first 6 minutes, they were 1-1 to no score down, and you're thinking, hopefully they come back into it, which they did, and kind of had the 5 points to 1-3, as I said, at half time. Then coming into the second half, Tip kind of took over again, but then they scored a goal from Niamh Davis from Danesford and put them a pint ahead, and then they went 2 points ahead. But Tipperary, you never know. Same in any sport against Tipperary, and ourselves, in either in schools or in County Camogie, it's always kind of a tussles with them, and the girls would have played against each other, when I said a few weeks ago with Loretto and Ursuline as well, a few of the girls would have played against each other. But then, yeah, we were 2 points ahead, and coming towards full time, Tip came back and got the 2 points, one from play and one from free, so went to extra time. And Tip had just had the extra kick in extra time, kind of coming up to extra time. There was the half time of extra time, they went 3 points ahead, leading at half time at the extra time, then 1-14 to a 1-11. And then the second half, again, there wasn't, between that extra 10 minutes, there was only a pint each scored. So, Tip coming out with a 3-point win, 1-15 to 1-12. Disappointing that that's kind of 2 years now that Fortuny Kilkenny haven't got out on the right side of an All-Ireland semi-final. And, like, the semi-final, the finals are in Nolan Park next Saturday. So, yeah, so the A final and the A Shield final are in Nolan Park next weekend. The Shield final is at half two, and the A final is at half four in Nolan Park on Saturday. So disappointing, unfortunately, that, like, David and the lads will build up and get the girls going again for next year. But it's hard luck on them that they couldn't get it, especially when it's over in the park.
Definitely.
I've got a great crowd there next weekend. But more than likely they will, because typical Watford, more than likely, like, this is Watford's second minor All-Ireland in a row. Like, they were against Cork last year, and they beat Cork yesterday 3-9 to 1-9, which a lot of people wouldn't have thought they would have got it, but Maggie Gossel that got a goal, and a few, the other, Rebecca Farrell was another one. And yeah, so Kenny would have played them earlier on in Dunmore, and they were a very strong team there. So yeah, Watford and Tip, it's building nicely for underage there, and you can see it coming out in their seniors then as well. Like, Maggie Gossel is a second big carton in the making.
Yeah, and brilliant to see, you know, new teams coming to the fore as well and making the championship more competitive, hopefully in time, you know, that you'd have five or six teams have a chance of winning it.
Yeah, you would, yeah. You look at it, I didn't see the Cork match against Kilkenny. It was down in Cork, but looking at their team, like, they would have had somebody on the 16th, so we'd played against a few years ago and seen them from the minor win from last year. Yeah, a lot of people would have said, yeah, Cork, everything is Cork going, and I'm going to say, you're saying, wait until the day comes, you don't know what's going to happen. Like, it seems in Munster games that Cork are not winning all in under 16 either. Limerick seems to be coming good in the under 16, so that could be building up in for their future games either in their underage up into minor as well. So yeah, it's, as you say, it's great that it's not just the Galway, Cork, and Kilkenny, as we say, that Watford and Tipperary are now as well, and their underage are coming up.
You know, definitely in other news, any under-17s?
Under-17s development, yeah. They had their final against Galway in Loughrea yesterday and were winning all the way until, I'd say, the last puck of the ball. And Galway got in for a goal and ended up winning 2-14 to 3-10. You think, like, getting the three goals, you're 3-10 to 1-14 ahead, and then you kind of... on the stroke of full time, Galway got in for their goal. But great to see this development final, as we were saying last week, or you were saying about the hurling under 19 development. Kind of great to get the players that weren't kind of on either the minor or the under 20s that they're in there. And it's great to see they on the 17s, which would have been the B version of the minors this year. They've decided to bring it in as an Ireland series. When they finished Leinster's before, they were finished for the year and kind of didn't play again for another 9 to 10 months. So yeah, so great to have that in, but as we said, unfortunately beaten by the pint, but great to Owen had a great panel there, and they're looking at be going up onto the A panel next year and further on into the county series when they get older.
Yeah, no, definitely. And other news, anything?
Other than this fail out at the weekend there, they had the Division 1 and the Division 4. Bennisbridge defeating Carrickshock there in Division 1. Dixborough was also in that division, and Bennisbridge coming out victorious on that their group. They were in Dixborough's group with Young Ireland, but Carrickshock and themselves were in the final, and Bennisbridge, great winners there. They came out in one of the Division 2 last year, I think, so they kind of built on from the Division 2 last year and represented Kilkenny last year, now in Division 1 winners, and best of luck to them in Wexford when the fail is on in June, I think. And then in the Division 4 final, Blacks and Whites defeated Ballyhale by a pint, 1-5 to 1-4. And then we haven't the Division 2 and Division 3 will be going ahead on the Maybank holiday. So that's it. And then just then fixtures then for next weekend. The under-16s finished their Leinster Championship. Both of them are against Dublin in Leinster Finals, and it's in the Centre of Excellence in Fenna next weekend. The B's against Dublin at 11 o'clock in Fenna, and the A's against Dublin again, that's 12:15.
Brilliant.
But I think Kilkenny the under-16s then start there, the A's start their All-Ireland series kind of Sunday week against Dublin, so they'll be really knowing what Dublin are like. But the B's then split up, don't do it again then, and they have their development group like the 17s had, and they're waiting until after their junior starts finish to start their development group.
Brilliant. So anything else for us, Aoife?
No, that's it.
That's everything. Thanks for that, Aoife. And join us after this promotion where we'll be talking to Andy Comfort, looking ahead to the Galway game and also looking back at yesterday's game.
Community Radio Kilkenny City, number one for sport.
It's one of the joys of being, I suppose, involved with a minor team, that there's always a turnover of player and from year to year, which I suppose you have a kind of a 2-year block as a minor, an under 16 player, an under 17 player, so there's always a turnover. So look at the fresh talent again this year, and plenty of fellas getting chances.
They're not, they don't come around too easy, but sure, look, it's not the be all and end all, losing our minor or winning one. Like, you could have to do more in the sport than just that. Like, you have to get up to senior and all, no point just winning that and not playing again.
Kilkenny class probably did help in the end, but look, great to win, and it's the first bit of silverware for these chaps.
You know, lads don't see it, like, you know what I mean, and we paid insurances and slitters and hers. I look after the slitters, believe you me, I know, and I'm miserable as well, by the way.
The voice of the Black and Amber, Community Radio Kilkenny City, 88.7 FM.
And that was our April promotion. Now we're delighted to be joined on the line by Andy Comfort. Good evening, Andy.
Evening, Ciarán. How are we getting on?
Not too bad. And the championship after starting now, the minors on Saturday, and then also the Antrim game on Sunday. What were your thoughts on both?
Yeah, very, very good win for the minors. I have to agree with Pat there. There's something happening underage in Kilkenny, and we're starting to come, and names are starting to crop up, and players are playing. Like, it was interesting to see the minors, the way they adopted the long ball in, and it's made paying dividends. I think it's a style that we have. Someone in somewhere hierarchy in the county board said, listen, we have to adopt a Kilkenny style of hurling, and I think we have adopted that with the minor, and it was a very, very good win. Listen, any day you beat Galway, which we found it difficult for the last few years, is a good day, and hopefully they can build on that. It's a confidence thing. It's like any sport. If you get building confidence, especially with youngsters, it'll stand to them in the long term.
Yeah, no, definitely, Andy. And turn our attention then to Sunday. We had a text in earlier saying if you were at the game, they would have looked for their money back. But
yeah, I agree with him 100%, Ciarán. Listen, there's four teams in Leinster, and I think we're cramming in games there, cramming in games. We're looking for a split season. We're expecting players to tug out week on week and play championship matches against inferior opposition. Like, what is it doing for Antrim? Can somebody tell me, Antrim have a problem trying to get their marquee players to play with the county. How are Antrim players going to, good quality players going to turn up and get drubbins like this? Like, it's absolutely doing nothing for Antrim hurling, playing them in the Leinster Championship and Carlow. There's four teams in Leinster with any bit of ambition to win a Leinster Championship and progress. That's it. The other teams are just they're absolutely cannon fodder there, and it's absolutely doing nothing from them within. See what the Talton Cup done for Westmeath when they won it. The players got a bit of a holiday away. They got to accept the cup in Croma Park, and it brings back kind of players that were on the fringes in Westmeath, were saying, oh, we want to play football from Westmeath. They see lads getting a holiday away and getting looked after and getting brought down through the middle of the town, they're going to come back and play for Westmeath. If lads in Antrim can get a chance to win something like a McDonagh Cup and play in that tournament and get up the steps of the Hogan and get a holiday away, they're going to come back and play. And the same in Leash. Like, I don't see it doing anything for anyone. And that's the listener that rang in and said he wanted his money back. He was 100% right. I can't put any credence on it, or I can't see any logic in it. Pat said you learn something from games. Well, I have to disagree. I agree with Pat Tracy on a lot of things, but I have to disagree with him. Like, any game going out there and winning by that margin, it's absolutely doing nothing for the team. And I'm sorry, but we're on false ground here going up to Galway next week. Like, if we think that this is going to be par for the course and winning matches, and, you know, it's not hardening the team up. And some players, Nicky will agree with me, some players respond and play better when you're 2 pints behind. And then there's other players, Ciarán, that when you're 10 pints behind, they'll come and they'll want to get 13, 14, 15, and they'll play better then. And there's two types of players. And, some players are going to show up and play brilliant when you're 10 pints ahead, and they'll play brilliant. And then the other players is when you're 2 pints down. I can't see any logic in it. I can't see it doing any good for Kilkenny, and it's definitely not doing anything for hurling and for Antrim either.
Yeah, no, sure. Like, you know, €25 in yesterday, Andy, 15 for the terrace, and, you know, to see that drub and then that poor old Antrim got, you know, I'd agree with you. It's not the one for
scandalous. Hurling. Oh, it's absolutely scandalous. Like, and Antrim are going up the road, they're wondering. Like, it's not for us to worry, but we're conscious of what's going on in hurling, really, throughout the GEA. Like, we need to keep hurling fresh. We need to keep it spontaneous. We need to keep an appetite and keep people coming through the gate. But, like, lads are not going to come through for these matches, and it's doing nothing for the players either. Like, they're like, we have injuries now over this, and like, where are we going to stand? Would we be better off playing an A versus B game? The management will probably tell you after an A versus B game and done more, they would have learnt more from it. I can't see any logic in it anyway, and that listener is 100% right. Going up to Galway next week, like, it leaves us, like, it's chalk and cheese, isn't it, really, Ciarán? You're going from one into another, and listen, this game next week is going to be something similar to what went on down in Ennis and what went on in Waterford, you know, that intensity. So I can't see any, I can't see that game doing anything for us, bar we got niggling injuries. But all these players will definitely want to play when it comes to Thursday. They'll want to be playing against Galway because it is like the crunch match, isn't it?
Oh yeah, no, 100%, Andy. And what are your thoughts looking ahead to that game? You know, it's Salt Hill's a tough place to go. You know, like even last year we had a ferocious battle in Nolan Park with them, then yeah, another battle in Crow Park. Would you expect the same now Saturday or Sunday?
Listen, it's going to be a ding-dong match. We still have to learn a bit about the team, but it's a great match to learn, you know what I mean? Mikey Carey, Paddy, all these lads in different kind of positions, and listen, if we can get a great win, if we can get a win up there, it's a great result for us. It settles the team and we're in a great position, you know. But it has the opposite effect if we get beaten, of course. But listen, I'd be positive enough. I think the players are in a good vein of form, and listen, we have a good record over Galway, and like Henry is going to have his homework done on the Kilkenny team, and like he deserves a bit of a turn. Let's hope he doesn't get a turn in luck next weekend. But listen, it sets us up for a good campaign, and Kilkenny always get progressively better. But it's a very important game, Ciarán. I wouldn't like to be coming out of tune, you know, after getting beaten. So listen, the players know how important it is, the management know how important it is. So listen, I think the players will rise to it. Everything is coming, the team is getting more mature, and myself and yourself spoke off air at the beginning of the year saying this could be a good year for Kilkenny, and we had a feeling that it would be. This is the platform now, this is the foundation for the year, and if we can get this victory, which I think they can, it'll set us up, you know, nicely and a run into the next game, and it'll be definitely very extremely positive, and the players, as I said, they'll get better as it goes along. They'll get better if they can get this result next Saturday. It'll prove to them that, listen, Galway are a top four team, and don't forget it, they're there in the semi-final, and great manager and a great team, Jonathan Glynn back as well, Ciarán, he's a big asset to them, isn't he?
Oh, he is, yeah, big physical strong man, you know,
big physical presence, you know, he's going to take watching, exactly, he's going to take watching. So listen, I think we have to be on our toes, but I have good faith in the team, and subs are showing up as well. So your strength is your panel, and like you know, you'll be hoping that we can get our best 15 onto the field. That these injuries will clear up during the week, and we have our best 15. And I think if we get our best 15 onto the field, I think we have an excellent chance.
Yeah, no, 100%, Andy. I'd agree with you. If we can get our best 15 on it and full panel to pick from, we have a huge chance, and it'd be great to come over Galway
and Salt Hill. Yeah, it'd be great, and it'll be a great foundation for the year, and it'll definitely boost every hurling in the county, and definitely boost these bunch of players. And you know, even though lads will be saying, we still have to beat them in a Leinster final or whatever later down the line, but it's all psychological. If you can get the win over them here, you know, it's planting the seed in their head that, listen, this Kilkenny team is getting better and better, and I think we will step on the gas and get better and better as the year goes on, you know.
Yeah, no, definitely. Andy, as always, thanks a million for joining us this evening. We'll touch base with you next Monday night, where we'll be looking back at the Kilkenny versus Galway game, and hopefully it'll be a Kilkenny victory.
Please God, yeah. Thanks, Ciarán. 100%. Thanks,
Andy.
Yeah, on the
ball. That was Andy Comfort joining us as always on the Monday night, and great to get his views. Right, join us after the break, where we'll be talking to All-Ireland Collegiate Champion Noel Dowland.
TC Tires, World of Gaelic Games. TC Tires, World of Gaelic Games.
And welcome back. Just before we go to Noel Dowland there, we'd just like to thank Peter Murphy for his text message, or his message there, he phoned in there, so thanks to Peter for that, and thanks for listening in every week. Right, we're delighted to be joined on the line by Noel Dowland. Good evening, Noel.
Good evening, Ciarán. How are you keeping?
Not too bad. Noel, congratulations yesterday. All-Ireland Collegiate, both singles and doubles champion. You must be delighted to come away from the Connacht venues with both titles.
Oh God, of course I am. Sure, to do one is good enough as it is, but to do the two of them is probably something I didn't think I would have done going into the competition anyway.
Yeah, no, and just for our listeners, Noel, you're representing Trinity College Dublin, and you played your own doubles partner in the singles final, Quillen Burke from Trinity as well, and you beat her in two straight games.
Yeah. So I know Quillen since I was a child, so for us to be playing doubles together and then to come up against each other in singles was something, it was just surreal, really, because like when you're training with someone for so long and then be on opposite sides of the bracket and to be meeting at that stage of the competition is just something. But especially in Trinity, like you've seen, a sport wouldn't be a main hold up there. Like for us to both make it to the final was like an amazing achievement for our college anyway.
Yeah, no, exactly. And you were a comfortable winner in the final, Noel, coming out two games to nil victor.
Yeah, of course. Well, I played in Ballymote in Sligo, and my own club, Motel, it's a small alley. It's definitely 3 foot short anyway, if not more. But the layout of the alleys were actually quite similar. So when I went in to serve, it was probably the decisive factor in the end, because the serve that I would get in my home alley down in Motel would have been a similar enough serve to what I've done in Ballymote. And Quillen she struggled to return a few of them, but when she did return them, they weren't as strong as I anticipated, so like I could return them back more powerful than what I would have been able to have done if it was in a different alley, I suppose.
Yeah, so it's brilliant, you know, to have that advantage going in. For our listeners, Noel, like 6x30, alleys can vary in size, and, you know, the walls can be higher and lower and all that. So obviously this played an advantage for you this time round, but it was great that it all fell in place for you on the day.
Yeah, of course. Like, I was just thinking back on it myself. Usually in a 60x30 alley, there's a few tweaks in each individual alley itself. They're old enough in their structure, so like you nearly need a game or two in each alley to kind of get a feel for it. But Ballymote seemed to be true to itself, like there didn't seem to be any falls or any cracks in the wall that you could hit and it might run a right hand wall straight up or anything. Everything just seemed to be perfectly as it was, like. And I suppose for me, maybe Quillen is from Belcarra and Mayo herself, and she tells me that if she hits a certain point in the wall, it's going to run the left hand wall. But down in Motel, there is none of that either, and Ballymote seems to be quite similar to that, so it kind of just fell into place for me on the day, thank God.
Yeah, no, and brilliant victory in that, in the singles, Noel, and then obviously you went back in and then with Quillen and you won the doubles title over UL, where Una Brophy and Kilkenny player from the Wingap club, Emer Barron, was playing.
Yeah, we played the doubles on the Saturday night, so that was before the singles, but we'd won the first game 15-1, but we'd started off very strong, and I suppose the girls, for myself and Quillen anyway, we were playing all the way up to that final, so we were probably well warmed up and more capable of staying playing, whereas for the girls, I suppose they were travelling from Clooney all the way back to Ballymote, so they probably were a bit not warmed up in the first game. But in the second game, Emer and Una played very well against us. They think they went about 9-2 or 3 up before me and Quillen actually got our groove back again. I suppose coming out after the first game and winning by that significant amount, you kind of go in a bit complacent in the second game, but we kind of got our act together anyways, and we took that. I think it was 15-9 was the final score in that game, so it was quite tight.
Yeah, no, definitely, and two brilliant talents coming through there as well. And for yourself now, Noel, what's the plan for the rest of the 6x30 season, or what's on the agenda for you now?
Yeah, so the 6x30, it's only started really, so it's hard to kind of call whether that would have been a true achievement. Of course, it was an achievement in itself, but it's hard to tell like where you stand among in the next coming weeks, I suppose, is going to really come into shape. I've entered the senior off of All-Ireland Championships myself, and I'm still intermediate, so I'll probably compete in that grade also. It's only, I suppose, every season now is running into each other, so you kind of just have to get yourself getting ready to go again for the next couple of weeks, and when 6x30 starts to get, we're very strong then.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And like you said, Noel, the championships are running in on top of each other. And I know there was only a few players coming out of the 40x20 there last weekend, coming back into the 60x30. So they are coming in. But sometimes a tournament like that can set you up perfectly. Competitive games where you have to raise up your game, and that will drive you on, hopefully, now for the rest of the 60x30 season.
Yeah, well, that's the hope, anyways, I suppose, to be winning the open singles and doubles is probably giving me a bit of a boost and confidence going into the season itself. Like, so I'm hoping it might be a hold to me the next few weeks when the championship starts to get up and running.
Well, Noel, thanks a million for joining us this evening. Congratulations on your fantastic achievement of winning both the Open Ladies singles and doubles title. And best of luck for the rest of the season. And hopefully we might be giving you a call later in the year with more success on the cards for yourself.
Thanks so much for having me, Ciarán. I really appreciate it.
No problem, Noel. And thanks a million for joining us. And that was Noel Dowlan from the Mortal Club, victorious there in the All-Ireland Colleges. I think it could be the first Kilkenny lady to win that title, so congratulations to Noel. And now we're delighted to be joined on the line by Sean Foley. Good evening, Sean.
Evening, Ciarán.
Sean, we've more good handball news. Wine Gap victorious in the girls division 1, fail a title over the weekend and a historic win for the club.
Fantastic achievement there for the girls, Sean. Yeah, I suppose I've said it, we had a few winners, but no, the girls really did put in a huge effort, and thanks to Julie O'Brien there for looking after him and the work she done with him there to get him ready for the Féile up in Offaly in County Mayo there at the weekend.
Yeah, and who was on the team, Sean? I know there was probably four or five girls on it, but like you said,
we just had the bare minimum there. So it's a format of two pairs, and each game is first to 21 or 15 minutes. So we had Rachel Kennedy playing with Maya Egan and Kate O'Brien partnered Lucy Crowley. So they had the five games there against Killasheen. They won both games. Their neighbours Kells, again, Wingap took both games there. They played Greencastle of Tyrone, where Greencastle took one game on us, and we finished the day with playing Kilfane, and then we ended up meeting Greencastle in the final.
Brilliant. And Sean, like, competition in these grades, like, I know how hard it is to win these Féile titles, you know, it always comes down to the wire, and this one was something similar.
Oh, it's no different, Ciarán. Yeah, so Mike and Rachel had played Emma Conway and Emma Fox there, and they took the first game 21-11, so then left the work for Kate and Lucy, which they right down to the wire, they pulled it out of the bag there, winning 21-8. I suppose just a big thanks to Kells and Kilfane, who did stay for the final and give us a huge support there before facing the 3.5-hour journey back home.
Yeah, no, absolutely, Sean, and it's brilliant to see that camaraderie, and we say it here every week, you know, when everyone's pulling together and supporting each other, you know, it's for the best of Kilkenny handball, and it's great to hear that as well. And I think there was Division 1 success in the single or in the skills competition as well for Kel, Sean, as Hayes.
That's right, Sean. As far as they had judged it throughout the games, and Sean did rightly stand out, who was a good player. Alright, yeah.
Well, thanks a million for joining us, Sean, and huge congratulations to the Wine Gap Club on their fantastic achievement. Division 1 Féile champions, brilliant success, and like you said there, huge congratulations as well to Julie O'Brien, an unsung hero really in handball, you know, driving players all over the county for 40x20 and 60x30, so huge congratulations to everyone in the Wine Gap Club.
Absolutely, Ciarán. Thanks a million.
Thanks, Sean. And that was Sean Foley there from the Wine Gap Club joining us. And congratulations to Wine Gap Division 1 champions. Hard luck to Kells and Kilfane, both teams up in the Division 1 as well, but very competitive grade. And look, that's 12 players or 13 players playing at the Division 1 level from Kilkenny, which is fantastic. And credit to all the clubs, the work that's being done behind the scenes. And in other news then, There was also victory for Clock in the Division 2, a brilliant success for the Clock girls. They overcame their division as well, and a strong, good, young, strong team, and they'll be definitely pushing next year for the Division 1 as well. So congratulations to the Clock Club and everyone involved on that team. Then in the boys, there was defeat in the Division 1. In the Kells were unlucky just to lose out. They had a count back and unfortunately came up 3 or 4 aces short, and to eventual winners Loch McCrory, who went on then to win it over their rivals up there, Carrigmore. And then also in the boys Division 3, hard luck to O'Loughlin's, they narrowly lost out. But talking to John Morrissey, they're delighted with the day. They have a very young team, 3 players underage again for next year, and a brilliant experience for them up in Newport in Mayo. And they lost out, but they all went down to the beach afterwards then and had a great time down there as well. So look, all in all, a hugely successful weekend for Kilkenny clubs up at the Fela, and well done to everyone that travelled. It was a long journey west, but I think brilliant experiences made, and great experiences for all the players, families and coaches. Then in other news, we spoke to Noel Dowell there, the All-Ireland collegiate champion. Also there was victories for Conor Holden in the men's B representing UL, and the Kilfane club. Conor had a great win in that. And then in the ladies B, Emer Barron, who lost the open ladies open doubles final, she won the ladies B competition. So a great win for Emer. I think it could be her first year in the college tournament, so great success for her. And then unfortunately there was a tiebreaker defeat in the open singles for Kyle Jordan. He lost out to his old rival Cormac Finn from Sligo in a tiebreaker competition. Brilliant finalists, you can watch it online there, but a brilliant game between the two lads, and hard luck to Kyle, just coming up a bit short. And we also have a text in here just to say congratulations to Noel, representing a proud tradition in handball from the Dowling and Boogie families. And yeah, no, most definitely. Lads, before we go, what were your thoughts on the Munster Championship?
Look, at, I mean, Clare seemed to be going well. I mean, we were stepping Pat were talking about today. I mean, he said himself, but sure, Limerick had only 9 points scored after what period of time? So there'll be big questions for Clare, but I think, as Pat said yesterday, he doesn't think Limerick are going to win in All-Ireland this year. I'm not so sure. They might have learned from it a bit, but a couple of the scores at the end, you know, Brian Lowe made nothing out of it, but I suppose he didn't want to with the game of Cork coming up next weekend. But they did look, at least one of them looked to be a square ball anyway.
Yes. Pat, before we get your opinion, 2 O'Loughlin's players on the team of the week.
That's you're talking about Kerry man, Fintan, yeah. McCarthy. Yeah, he had a very good game by all accounts yesterday, and that was a big win for Kerry over Westmeath. And in that, I think you know that Clare should have won. They were 9 points up, double scores, 18 points. I think they were 115 to 9 points, and you'd have to say that they collapsed in the last quarter. You could say similar against Kilkenny, only Kilkenny didn't put them to the sword, and that. So it is a very difficult one from now going down to Cork. It's hard to see how they're going to pick themselves up for that against Cork in a do or die game. I think Limerick are gone off the boil. I think they're gone stale, and it's a kind of an impossible thing to arrest. And I think you have to look at Limerick for that 52 or 53 minutes to only score 9 points. I think the last quarter glosses over a lot of problems they have. They probably have more problems than Clare have.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, Pat. They actually didn't do anything to nearly win the game. You know, they just got 3 opportunities to goal.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And yeah, look, it'll be interesting to see how
how it develops.
Cork have big issues now. I mean, they've gone with a certain cohort of players, and it's going to be very late to change now at this stage. I think Cork have not given young lads their head soon enough, and they might pay the price in that.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with you. And Pat, you tipped Waterford for that one, and Julio Blees.
Well, I thought Waterford had a good chance in Walsh Park, but Cork in Páirc Uíomh, or Cork in if they get to Croke Park, Turles or Croke Park, I think it would probably suit them even more. And I wouldn't be ruling Cork out at this stage, even though it's very disappointing that they can't go out and, if you like, battle out a win in a place like Waterford. That's not good.
No, and it's worrying as well that they have to, as Nicky said there, have to draw from the same lads all the time, you know, that were dropped off the panel 3 and 4 years ago, you know.
That's right, yeah. It's just like there are times you have to go to Parnell Park and you have to get the win, you know, it's tough.
But Dublin will be, or Wexford will be more disappointed than anyone, now, to be honest about it.